Good morning. This is Steve Taylor, and I'm so very thankful to have this privilege, and I do count it a privilege, to share God's Word with you. So many things that are contained in God's Word that help us on a daily basis, and it's something that as we look at it, we can place ourselves to some extent in the events that take place in the Bible to know that God has placed these here for our learning, to give us hope, to give us the assurance that He's with us and that He has a plan and a purpose for our lives, and He will carry us through to that intent. A few weeks ago, we began a study of the book of Jonah. I kind of went away from it last week, but this week I want to go back to the book of Jonah and continue our thoughts on him. Just a quick review. We saw how that God had appeared to Jonah, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, telling him, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." And Nineveh was a place of an enemy to Jonah, to the Hebrews. Nineveh was the Philistines, and those, they were age old, and even to this day, their descendants are still at odds, at enemies one to another. So when the word of the Lord came to Jonah, instead of going to Nineveh as God directed him, he went in the other direction, trying to run away, trying to get away, because he didn't want to go. He did not want to go to Nineveh. He did not want to go to that place where his enemies were, and certainly he didn't want to go and cry out against them in a public way, telling them they need to repent. It was so against what Jonah truly felt inside of his own mind, his own thoughts. So he went down to the port, and there he found a ship that was going to Tarshish. And so he paid the fare, he paid the wage to go, and he went down to the very bottom of the ship, and off they went. Well, certainly he was not out of God's sight, and neither are we ever out of God's sight. And I'm so thankful for that, aren't you? I'm thankful that there's no place on this earth or under the earth or anywhere that I can go and not be in the sight of God. I want to be in His sight. I want to know that He's with me at all times. So as Jonah was on this boat and they were sailing, God sent a great storm, a great wind, a mighty tempest in the sea is what the Word of God says. And the ship seemed that it was going to be broken up and broken into pieces. And the sailors, the mariners that were on that ship, became afraid, and they began to call out to their gods, their idols, which were no gods. But Jonah was gone down into the bottom of the ship, and there he was asleep. He was asleep on the boat, and they came down and they woke him up and said, "Call upon your God. We're praying. You need to pray also. We're in a terrible fix here. We're going down. You're going down, and we're going down with you." So they didn't know that at the moment. "Who are you? Where are you from? Call upon your God." So Jonah began to explain to them, and he said, "I know this storm has come upon the ship because of me." And you would think at that point he would say, "Can you turn around and take me back so I can go do what my God told me to do?" But instead, no, he said, "Just throw me overboard." He still didn't want to go to Nineveh. "Just throw me overboard and you'll be okay." And so they did. They didn't want to. In fact, they began to call on the God of Jonah, asking for forgiveness that they were going to cast him into the sea. Didn't want to, but for their preservation, they did so. They cast him into the sea. And we find now that Jonah is going even farther down. And I pick it up in Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, and then we'll read all the way through chapter 2. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17 says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Though Jonah was running away from God, when he hit bottom and he began to cry out unto the Lord, realizing what a fix he was in because of his disobedience, he said, I cried unto the Lord and he heard me. He heard me. I've had people say to me, and probably in all honesty, I've had thoughts within myself, does God hear my prayer? Have I gone so far that God has refused to hear my prayer? And yet here we find Jonah as he is going to the bottom of the sea and in the belly of this whale. I know it says he prepared a great fish. Jesus called it a whale. So I don't have a problem calling it a whale. He's in the belly of this whale. God heard his cry. Even in his lowest, darkest hour, God heard the cry of Jonah. Out of the belly, he said it, out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Now, I want to talk about the fish for just a moment. I've read all kinds of things concerning this. I've read where that there's no way that a man could survive for 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish. I've heard seen others where they say, well, there's no way that the throat of the whale could swallow a man. But what they're discounting in that is what I read in chapter 1 and verse 17. It says, the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. This wasn't just any whale. It was a whale that had been prepared by God. And God, in preparing this whale, even I'll just take the thought that a normal whale would not be able to swallow a man. But this was not a normal whale. This was one that was prepared by God for Jonah. This fish had been created for one purpose, if nothing else, one purpose, and that was to carry Jonah to the very depths of the sea. God prepared, and so therefore God prepared the throat of that whale that he would be able to swallow Jonah down, and Jonah was able to survive there because a whale is a mammal. A whale does not is not what you would call a regular fish with the gills that takes the water in and extracts the oxygen from the water. No, a whale breathes oxygen just like humans. The whale surfaces, takes in the oxygen, and goes back down. And so Jonah was able to live off of the oxygen from the whale as he was under there because God prepared that whale. God prepared that great fish for Jonah. And as he was taking Jonah down, Jonah began to cry unto the Lord. Now we pick it up again, chapter 2 of Jonah, verse 3. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, and all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I'm cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. Picture Jonah. He was a mess. He was a mess. And I tell you, there have been times in my life that I would look in the mirror and I'd say, Steve, you're a mess. And I'm not talking about the physical side. I'm talking about the state of my mind. That it was just that I seemingly had sunk so low. Jonah was a mess, yet he said, even though the weeds, the seaweeds were wrapped all about me, and the juices of the whale that would break down the food, he was just a mess. I won't go any farther than that. He was just a mess. He says, I, I, I must be even out of the sight of the Lord, but you heard me cast out. But I'm going to look again toward thy holy temple. Down to verse 6. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. Notice verse 8. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. What would have been a lying vanity that Jonah would have been hearing in his own mind as he was going down? Well, I'm going to tell you that the devil, Satan, is certainly very capable of and convincing of those things that we would look at that we would think, and he would say, there's no hope for you. You've gone too far this time. You could have turned around, but you didn't. And now look where you're at. Look what your thoughts, what your actions, where they have taken you, where that you are. And if we listen to those things, if we observe those lying vanities, because Satan will go on so far as to say, there's no hope for you. God doesn't even love you anymore because of who you are and what you've done. And if we continue to listen to those things and believe those things, then we're forsaking our own mercy. But listen, I don't want to separate the actions of Jonah in the Old Testament from our actions today and our experiences today, when we might have those same thoughts that Satan would present to us. Listen in Revelation 12, verses 10 and 11, to what God revealed to the Apostle John. It says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation. Remember that. Now is come salvation when we go back to Jonah. And the strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Satan still tries to accuse us. Satan still tries to convince us that our sins have taken us too far, that there's no turning back, that there's no hope for us, that there's no way that we can ever get out of that situation and that circumstance. But God's Word says, now the Word of the Lord is coming to us, and the Word of God tells us that the accuser is cast down. So, as he would still try to accuse us in his feeble way today, how can we overcome that? Well, we're told, Revelation 12, verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Yes, I am unworthy. But God, in His mercy and His grace, and I don't want to ever observe lying vanities to the point that I forsake my own mercy, and that is, Jesus Christ died for me. His blood was shed for me. His blood washed away my sins. His blood has cleansed me. His blood has made me whole. Though I was unlovable, yet God in His mercy and His grace bestowed upon me His unconditional, unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor of God, whereby that Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross, His blood was shed, and through the shedding of His blood, my sins, the debt that was against me, was paid in full. We overcome Satan. We overcome the accuser by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Unworthy as I am, I love Jesus. Unworthy as I am, Jesus Christ loves me. Unworthy as I am, Christ died for me. My testimony is not I, but Christ who lives in me. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Lord, take me and use me to your glory and to your praise. I don't want to observe lying vanities. I don't want to forsake my own mercy that's given to me by the grace of God. Back to Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Remember Revelation 12, 11 says, and salvation is now come. And when Jonah prayed those prayers, confessed that glorious truth, salvation is of the Lord, the Lord then spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. I want us to think about this for just a little while. Again, God had spoken to Jonah, go to Nineveh. Jonah ran away. In bringing Jonah to the place where he would have him to be, there were certain things that God prepared to deliver Jonah. God prepared that boat. He knew Jonah was going to run away. That wasn't something that surprised God. He knew exactly what Jonah's reaction was going to be, but he also knew what he was going to do to overcome, to prevail over Jonah's negative thoughts and negative actions. He knew what he was going to do to prevail against those things, to ultimately bring Jonah to Nineveh. And we'll see that, Lord willing, next time, the response that came about as Jonah went to Nineveh. But God prepared that boat. God prepared that storm. God prepared those sailors and that captain of the ship. God prepared that great fish. And all were ultimately in place to deliver Jonah. But God was going to allow Jonah to experience the consequences of his negative response and reaction to God's word. He was going to bring about certain things for Jonah to experience. In other words, Jonah had to experience the bottom before he'd experience deliverance. He had to go to what he called the belly of hell. And it was there and only there that he began to cry out to God. It was there that he began to pray. We really don't even hear him praying before he got on the boat. We don't hear him praying in the middle of the storm. We don't hear him praying as the sailors were throwing him overboard. It was as that great fish was taking him further down, 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 that Jonah began to lift his voice up, up, up toward God. He says, I'm cast out of your sight. That's how the accuser will approach us. God can't even see you. You've gone so far. You're out of his reach. You're out of his thoughts. You're out of his sight. But listen, that's not true. But that's what Satan would have us to believe. And Jonah said, I'm cast out of your sight, yet, though I am cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. I'm cast out. I can't see you. But the truth of the matter is, you see me. And I'm going to continue to look in the right direction. Where am I to look? Am I to hope that the fish is going to turn around and take me back? Am I to hope that that boat's going to turn around and take me back? No, it took me to the bottom. Am I looking to look to myself? Because, no, I'm in a downward spiral. Where am I to look? I'm thinking of just now prayer that was prayed by King Solomon at the dedication of the temple. You'll find this in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Solomon, in his prayer unto the Lord, God gave him wisdom to understand that the people, including himself, but the people from time to time would turn away from God, and consequences would come as a result of that. But listen to a portion of that prayer that Solomon prayed that I have to believe was in the heart of Jonah when he was at the bottom of the sea. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, starting with verse 36, in Solomon's prayer of dedication, he said, If your people sin against you, for there's no man which sinneth not, and thou be angered with them, and deliver them over before their enemies, and carry them away captives into a land far off or near. And Jonah was certainly being carried far off into the bottom of the sea. It says, yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, we've dealt wickedly, Lord, I've sinned against you. If they turn and they say that, in verse 38 it says, if they return to thee with all their heart, with all their soul, in the land of their captivity, whither they have carried them captives, and pray toward their land, which thou gavest unto the fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name. Lord, if in the midst of their captivity, if they're in that faraway land, if they turn and pray toward this house, this temple that's being dedicated to you, Lord, will you hear? And do you know what the famous answer to that prayer is? We hear it quoted so many times, and I tell you, it seems to me that there's come a point where we need to stop quoting it and start doing it. But God's answer to that prayer was 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will heal their land. Yes, if they will do this from their hearts, if they will do this, if they will observe this and turn back to me, I'll hear and I'll heal. What we don't hear quoted very often is 2 Chronicles 7 verse 15. After he said that most famous quote, now he says, now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears intent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Listen, God all the time was waiting for Jonah to pray, to humble himself, to seek the face of God, to turn away from his own thoughts. So when he says, I'm going to look again towards your holy temple, God is saying, I'm waiting for that prayer. I'm waiting for that humility. And when it happens, I will deliver you. So there was a great turning in the heart of Jonah when he turned back to the Lord. Listen, that same principle applies to you and to me today. When we find ourselves in that situation and the accuser is just hurling insults and accusations against us, God's still saying, if you'll just humble yourself and pray and seek my face and turn back to me, I'll hear your prayer and I'll heal you. And it was at that time that Jonah came to the realization, I have to stop observing lying vanities. Which meant he had to stop listening to the accusations from Satan, but he also had to stop listening to himself. Stop listening to his own design, his own desire, his own whimsical ways of trying and thinking he could run away from God. They that observe their lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But where was he when he came to that understanding? Verse 6 says, he said, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me. I could not deliver myself. I love the 107th Psalm. I want to read just a portion of that to you as we come to the conclusion of our message today. Psalm 107, verses 8 through 16. We read, Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He, God, satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. You see, Jonah had become empty. He had to empty himself. Loved not his life to the death. Lord, I give up. I submit to You. I stop trying to plan my own life. I want to be in Your will. And God begins to fill us with the good things of His will, the good things of His mercy, the good things of His grace, the good things of His love, the good things of His purpose for our lives. But the psalmist went on in Psalm 107 verse 10 saying, such as sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God. Does that not describe Jonah to a T? But listen, there have been times in my life that describe Steve Taylor to a T also. They contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. Listen, there's hope in the Lord. There's hope and assurance in the Lord Jesus Christ. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. And that's exactly what He did for Jonah. That's exactly what He's done for me. That's exactly what He's done for you. And that's exactly what He'll continue to do by His Holy Spirit. To bring us out of darkness, to bring us out of the shadow of death. He'll break the bands that hold us down. And it's then that we can say, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He hath broken the gates of brass, cut the bars of iron in sunder. He set us free. And if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. And it's then that we can cry out with the blessed great truth that Jonah declared even while he was still in the bottom. He hadn't been brought up yet, but he had been brought to the bottom of the depths of the sea when he cried out, salvation is of the Lord. Listen, when our hearts are turned back to God, there is deliverance. There is freedom. There is liberty. As the Son sets us free, breaks asunder those bars that would hold us down, and brings us to the place where that we can rejoice and experience that joy that is evermore, so that Thou wouldst show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And that's found as we walk in the light of God's holy word for us, doing those things that He would have us to do. I pray that the Lord will bless us as we continue to look at Jonah and as we see the things that God does through him and in him, and to understand that as we serve the same Lord today, He's able to set us free. He's able to show us His great mercy and love and grace. And we also can know of a surety, salvation is of the Lord. God bless you is my prayer. Thank you.